Today I want to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Today's title is going to be The Law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus Part 2. I'm basically going to pick up where I left off last time. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we find a discussion going on by the Apostle Paul that is common to many of his writings, and it is a discussion contrasting the flesh against the spirit. In verse 16 of Galatians 5, Paul writes, "Walk in the Spirit." And he says, "If you do, then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, there's a tremendous principle in that I alluded to last time. And that is that despite the fact that, yes, there is a certain struggle against sin, and yes, we do have to make the choice not to sin. We have to resist those tendencies and those lusts. But we're never told to do that as a thing or a battle unto itself. You and I will never overcome sin by becoming preoccupied with sin, by trying to beat sin down and eradicate sin by keeping laws and principles. We'll never eradicate sin with those methods. We are never told to make Christianity to be about battling sin, to be about being preoccupied with sin. We're never told that Christianity is a preoccupation with ourselves. Instead, and it's wrapped up in this verse, Christianity is a preoccupation with Christ, a life that is lived in and out from Christ, a life that is governed by Christ, a life that is spent realizing Christ, and then if our life is that in Christ, then the sin by default will be taken care of. The sin will dissipate. He says it right here. Walk in the Spirit. And if you do walk in the Spirit, then the result is going to be that you're going to be so preoccupied with Christ that you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You're going to experience a greater and greater freedom from that which would otherwise entangle you. Now, Paul could never say that, and it could never be true unless something else were true. This is what all this is based on. Paul was able to say that you can be free to walk in the Spirit, and the issues of the flesh will be taken care of. He is able to say that only because he knows that the victory is finished by Jesus Christ. So in other words, he doesn't say, walk in the Spirit and take a big club, use religion, use whatever method you can find to beat down your flesh and control it. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say it because the victory is already won in Jesus Christ. And so if we walk in Christ, the one in whom the victory is, the one whom is victory, if we walk in Christ, experience Christ, realize Christ, become governed by Christ, then we're going to be less and less preoccupied with ourselves, and consequently less preoccupied with sin, and we are going to be able to live in and out from victory over sin, rather than always trying to find victory over sin. It's all one tremendous truth found in the person of Jesus Christ. You can search long and hard through the New Testament, and you will never find anywhere where it tells believers that they're supposed to win a victory over sin. That is never stated. What we're told is that we're supposed to, by faith, walk in Christ and in his victory over sin. But that walk in Christ and his victory over sin isn't going to result in a preoccupation with sin. It's going to be resulting in a preoccupation with Christ. Now, we've talked a lot, as Paul has done in Galatians, about being under the law. Romans talks about being under grace rather than under law. Here, Paul talks about walking in the Spirit being the key to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So let's get some definitions here. One definition we need to see about what it means to walk in the flesh is that to walk in the flesh really does mean, regardless of how it's manifested, to walk in the flesh means to walk preoccupied with myself. The flesh, in the Bible definition, is what I guess we could call the me principle. And it is that even for a Christian who has not yet been set free. It's all about me, my righteousness, my successes, my failures. I get preoccupied with that, my works. It's all about how I see things. That's walking according to the flesh. It's all about how something affects me personally and how that comes to distort a person's discernment. These are components and dimensions to walking in the flesh. And that is absolutely normal for fallen humanity. Fallen humanity lost union with God and therefore lost knowledge of God. And when you lose that, all you have to work with is you. And so fallen humanity is a creature that is totally, from start to finish, a natural man who walks according to himself. It's the me principle, it's the flesh. And this can be translated, as I noted, over into religion. Over, really, into a Christianity that people try to live out in the natural realm, walking according to the flesh. Being under the law is nothing more than being preoccupied with me and my righteousness to the point where I'm trying to fix it and maintain righteousness. Being under the law is a religious, deceptive walk in the flesh. And we think it's a matter of walking in the Spirit and obeying God. So, to walk according to the flesh, and as Paul uses the term here, so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we often think of that as some kind of horribly immoral sin. And we think about the worst that a human being can produce, self-indulgence of any shape or size. We think that's what it means to walk according to the flesh. But it may never occur to us that a lot of walk according to the flesh can be very religious and it can look good. I like to think of a walk according to the flesh almost, I like to picture it as a human being as a vacuum cleaner that's sucking everything in toward himself. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that I become the standard by which I measure and discern everything. How I feel becomes the barometer by which I measure truth. And you've got Christians everywhere like that. They think that how they feel towards something is how God feels about it. In fact, more and more as this age progresses, we're being told that the Holy Spirit will make us feel the way God feels about something. And people then assume that their emotional feelings and responses are of God. I don't know what could be more deceptive. That is a walk according to the flesh, and boy, it's made to sound good. So much of what people call a walk in the Spirit today is actually a walk in the flesh. That may be shocking to some people, but it is simply psychic in nature, it is emotional, and it is not of God. Now, if you doubt that, just look at movements such as the charismatic movement. the job of the Holy Spirit in this age is to reveal Christ in people, and in doing so, guide people into all the truth. Does the charismatic movement represent truth? Does the charismatic movement, can you hold that movement up and say, this movement is a witness and a testimony to Jesus Christ in truth? Well, no, you would say the exact opposite. And you could say that same answer if you ask that same question regarding many movements, such as Calvinism and so forth. Christ is not glorified in these movements. It is about people's theological constructs. It's about people's understanding. People grow up in these various movements, or later they adopt them. They go to colleges, they learn theology, or they listen to a teacher, and what that teacher is teaching them makes sense to them. Something clicks, there is an emotional or psychic response, and they buy into it, and before you know it, they're deceived. That is not the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gives to people. That is not how God guides people into the truth. And we need to wake up to that fact. The flesh is the me principle. I determine truth by myself. And it may be that what I use is education, human reasoning. It may be feelings. It may be religion. But it's all about me. And then, of course, what can attach itself to any walk in the flesh, and ultimately will, is immorality and so forth. Why do we think more and more today, so many churches, so many ministers have been found to be guilty of sexually abusing people, of immorality, of stealing money, and so forth? It's because the Christianity that they're walking in is not Christ. It is the flesh. Now, that can be the case even if people are saved, because Paul was talking to saved people here. Look, read 16, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If these people that Paul was writing this to were not saved, how could he say walk in the Spirit? There's got to be God's Spirit in them in order for him to say to them, walk in it. But nevertheless, he's attaching the warning, and does all through this epistle, that they need to have Christ as the center. Now, walk in the Spirit, that word walk in the New Testament Greek is a lot deeper than that simple word walk might suggest to some of us. It really means to be governed by. It means to have your life governed by. It means to live. It means to be surrounded by completely. If you look up that word, it gets back to that. And so, be governed by the Spirit. Really, be governed by Christ. Now, why do I say that? Why does walk in the Spirit mean to be governed by the person of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus himself said that the work of the Holy Spirit in this age, the very purpose for which the Spirit of God was given, was to reveal him in people, to people, and through people. Everything Jesus said the Spirit of God was given to do in John 14, 15, and 16 was about himself. And if you read those passages, you cannot escape the conclusion that any movement of the Spirit of God that becomes about the Spirit of God cannot be of God. That's a drastic statement, but we need to get that. Jesus even said the Spirit of God will not speak of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, rather, will reveal me, testify of me, glorify me, take that which is of me and reveal it in you. Again and again and again, we are told that the purpose for which God gave his Spirit, the Spirit, incidentally, which is many places called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit, which incidentally means in the Greek, the spirit which sets aside for God's use. That's what the word holy means, the Holy Spirit. The spirit which is the spirit of truth. Everywhere in the Bible that it's mentioned, the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to reveal Christ in us. And we got to get that straight. You depart from that, you're going to get deceived, and many are. And so to walk in the Spirit certainly would include walking, experiencing, and realizing the Christ, that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit is all about. Now that's not maybe, and that's not a guess, and that's not an opinion. That is an absolute cardinal truth of the New Testament. And we need to get that straight. And so Paul is saying, walk, be governed by, live in and out from the Spirit, that which reveals Christ, that which is of Christ's life. And if you do that, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I talked earlier about being preoccupied. We could just as easily say, be preoccupied with Jesus Christ, which is what the work of the Spirit will bring you to. Be preoccupied with Jesus Christ. Realize Him. Come to be governed by a knowledge of Him. Come to be governed by Him to the point where your mind is renewed. You know Him, and you can live in and out from Him. Come to be governed by Christ, and if you do that, if you become preoccupied with Christ, then you will not be preoccupied with yourself. You will not fulfill, in other words, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is that in natural man which makes us to be preoccupied with ourselves. It's all about us. We want this, that, or whatever. Even the things of God for ourselves that we can use to bring our agenda to pass. And so we're talking about two entirely different walks here. And Paul often does contrast walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. It's about what kingdom rules you. It's about what government you are under. He says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, another reason that is true is because if you become preoccupied with Christ and you come to know Him, it's going to carry you away, if I can put it that way, to where you're not going to want this other. You're not going to want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, whether that lust of the flesh be religious or whether it simply be something that is immoral. Fall in love with Christ. Grow to know and be governed by Him. And these other desires will lose their power over you. It's not that they're going to be eradicated. It's not that it's going to be made impossible for you to sin, but you're going to be living in a place where Christ lives, and you will be living in and out from His life, and you will know Him, and you'll be living in victory. How many understand that if you're living in and out from Christ, you're living in and out from the resurrection power of God? You're living in and out from truth and life eternal. And I don't say that simply when I say living in and out from. I'm not talking about the fact that we can memorize a doctrine and get a lot of mileage out of that. Memorize a doctrine, have all of our teachings straight, and kind of create this little world in which we exist of doctrine, theology, and teaching. You can try to do that. It may get you by for a while, but it's not life. It's letter. And the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. We have to come into an actual experiencing of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be governed by that experiencing of Him. We have to come to experience Jesus Christ in a way that'll set us free from wanting it to be about us. I've said many times, if you and I come to know Christ, and along with that is going to come a horrible realization of what we are without Him. If you and I come to that point where we begin to see ourselves We're not going to be preoccupied with ourselves anymore. The only reason we continue to be preoccupied with ourselves is that we're still trying to make ourselves better and fix ourselves. It's what I said last time. You're under the law because you still think you can make yourself better. You still think you can maintain your righteousness. You only get under condemnation because you think you're failing to do that. Get out of all of that by faith and rest in Christ as all. And you'll find out that you're going to treat yourself exactly as God treats you, as one who is dead in Christ. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Come to know Him and face the facts and truth about yourself, and you'll become preoccupied with Jesus. You'll fall in love with Him, because you'll know that it's just a waste of time to continually circle around yourself, trying to fix yourself, trying to feel good about yourself. The Christianity of so many Christians, and believe me, I know this because I lived it for decades. The Christianity of so many people is all about themselves, and we morph that so that it seems like a good thing. The Christianity of so many people is about trying to fight sin. It's about trying to escape guilt and escape condemnation. We have all of these things that we do, all of these mental exercises, emotional exercises that we go through because we want to feel better about ourselves, because we want to fix what ails us. We see ourselves sinning and we hate it. As Paul says in Romans 7, I can't do what I want to do and I can't stop doing what I hate. We're in that. And so we develop different religious practices that we don't even call it that. It can be a mental practice, an emotional gymnastic, to try to fight the guilt, to try to fight the failure. We try to make ourselves believe. We try to exercise faith from out of ourselves to make ourselves feel better. But in the end, it's all about us. It's all about preoccupation with ourselves. We still think that God has sent Christ to die and be raised to hand us the tools by which we can fix what ails us. And it's all in the flesh. It's all in the wrong realm. God has said, I have taken this entire realm of the flesh and I have set it aside. It is in Christ on the cross, destined to death. And He is saying, in Christ, if you take your place in the cross, I'm not going to fix what ails you. I'm not going to eradicate sin. I'm not going to do a repair job on your old man in Adam. God is saying, it has never been my goal to make you feel better about yourself, and it never will be. It has never been my goal to give you a better personality, to get rid of all your misgivings about yourself. It has never been my goal to show you the wonderful value of yourself. As many people teach today, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, all of those heretics teach the value that we need to see we have to God. God is saying, I've never had a goal of that, but I've got something better. I'm going to relieve you and set you free from all of that. And I'm going to bring you into a realization of my Son. And you're going to be preoccupied with Him. And in doing so, you will truly come into the purpose for which I created humanity. So we're talking about something that, normally speaking, is completely foreign to human thinking, to even the thinking of many Christians. We're talking about something for which many of us have had no frame of reference at all. I've said it this way many times. We think that the normal God-given and God-desired position for a human being is somewhere in between high self-esteem and low self-esteem. And of course, we want to be on the high self-esteem side of the ledger. Now, that desire and that mistaken notion that this is what God wants, that God wants us to think highly of ourselves, and that that's good, and that, I mean, I've even heard people say, if you think highly of Christ, you'll think highly of yourself. They just can't get away from thinking highly of yourself as the goal. And so we think that God wants us to think good of ourselves because he thinks good of us. And he wants to set us free from misery over ourselves. All that is another version of a walk in the flesh. All that is another way of being preoccupied with yourself and finding an answer. It's a lie. God doesn't desire high self-esteem for humanity. If we really knew it, we're cursed with high self-esteem. Even people who are mired in the misery of low self-esteem, all that low self-esteem is a frustrated high self-esteem. We want to think good of ourselves and we're failing. And so we're miserable over that. No. God Almighty doesn't want high self-esteem for us, and he doesn't want low self-esteem for us. He doesn't want either of it. He wants to deliver us out of self altogether. Notice the common word, high self-esteem, low self-esteem. He wants to deliver us out of the whole self thing altogether over into Christ. Some people call it Christ esteem. I guess that's an acceptable term if what they mean by that is preoccupation with Christ, which is what it means to walk in the Spirit. So, what we normally bounce back and forth between as possible normals for the Christian life, God is saying, you're not on the same page as I am if you're doing that. In fact, you're not in the same book. In fact, you're not even in the same library. He'd even go as far as to say, you're not even in the same realm. You're totally off the track. God Almighty, and we see it back in the garden, wants to bring us back to what Adam was when he was first created. Totally naked, with nothing of himself as a resource. And yet, totally unashamed, totally lacking in any consciousness of that, because he was completely occupied with God. That's where God wants to bring us, and that is true freedom. Freedom from self is essential. And again, this is very much tied to freedom from the law. Because to the extent that I am preoccupied with myself as a Christian, I am going in one way or another to be under a law. It's going to be a law of self. It's going to be a law of being good enough. Some form of it will be there, even if it's not what we call a codified law. It'll just be a standard. Even if that standard is only the standard of wanting to feel good about myself. All of it's a lie. All of it's a law. And all of it is contrary to what God wants to do. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if you walk in the Spirit, you will be preoccupied. You will be in a realization of Jesus. And that is a position of victory and truth. And you'll be so wrapped up in him that you're not going to want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when those lusts come upon you and seek to draw you into the lust, well, you could still yield, but you'll more and more want to yield instead to Christ. And so resurrection life in Christ is not a fixed up old creation. The new creation in Christ is not a fixed up old creation. The new creation in Christ is the spiritual union between the believer and Christ himself, which is a different kind of creation, a new creation, a different kind of human being that is other than the old. It's above the old. And in Christ, as resurrected new creations, if we abide in him by faith, and we can lapse in that, but if we do abide in him by faith, then everything that Christ did on the cross and through the resurrection is in us because he's in us. And we can live above sin and the flesh. Now, it takes a lifetime to learn that. And as I've said, sinless perfection is never going to happen in this life. You may even have to pass through seasons where God exposes the corruption and lusts of your flesh for what they are. And it may seem when he's doing that as if you're getting worse and not better. But again, it's only going to seem that if you're looking at yourself and preoccupied with yourself. The key here is that as God exposes us for what we are, don't get under condemnation. Get into the truth of Jesus Christ about it. Confess it. We talk about condemnation and guilt, and so many people try to escape the horrible feeling of guilt and condemnation. That's their Christianity. How many understand, number one, you are guilty? So there's no point arguing about that. But you're not, despite being guilty, condemned. And all that God says is, confess the fact that you are guilty, but also live in the reality that you're not condemned, but in fact, in Christ. It really comes down to simple questions, doesn't it? Paul said in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The question for us is, do we really believe that or don't we? And it really is either or. Either there is no condemnation, even when we sin in Christ, or there is condemnation. It's one or the other. And we need to decide which we believe. And then, when that condemnation rises up, then we need to refuse it. We need to understand that when Adam fell and lost his spiritual life in God, that he became not only a 100% natural human being, no more spiritual, he also became corrupt. And the reason is, God created man with a spirit, soul, and body. But that soul and body was to be governed by man's spirit in union with God. In other words, governed by God, down through man, governing the soul and the body. But Adam lost his relationship with God, and so there was nothing of God to govern the soul and the body. And Satan entered in. Man became a psychic creature. Psychic rather than spiritual, that was more compatible at that point to the spirit of Satan than he had been with God. And so the realm of Satan within man is the flesh. It is the psychic realm, the natural man, emotions, and the psychic realm. Psychic part of man is the part of man's makeup you can't see. I mean, that's the best way to say it. The physical body is the part you can't see. And when you and I are saved and joined to the Lord and made one spirit with him, that psychic realm and that body that we have are not united with the Lord. Never will be in this age. But if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in and out from Christ, then that psychic realm that we continue to carry and that body, both of which continue to be there and be very imperfect, corrupt, they can be brought under the government of Jesus Christ. Our walk in the Spirit, in other words, can come to govern our whole man. And again, never perfectly, but you will never be able to govern yourself with laws and rules and religion. Ever. The only way to come to experience any real freedom from the flesh is to live in and out from Christ, walk in the Spirit, know him. That's why that's the emphasis. The victory in Christ is finished. Why do we keep trying to win it? And again, this isn't about developing a proper theological construct or a statement of faith. Yeah, Christ is the victory. Hallelujah. It's about knowing and experiencing Christ the person. And if we do that, then all the resurrection power that is in him, all the resurrection life that is in Christ, will be operative for us to the extent that we abide in him and believe him. Now, I don't want to leave out verse 17 for today. Verse 16 again, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts, fights, in other words, against, wars, some translations have it. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now note, he is saying here in Galatians 6, or rather 5:17, exactly what he says in Romans 7, where he says, I can't do what I want, and I can't stop doing what I hate. But it is no longer I that are doing or not doing these sins. It is the sin that dwells in me. In other words, I have a sin nature that won't behave. And I can't make it behave, no matter how hard I try. But the solution is to live outside of that realm of fighting and trying, but in Christ, because he's the victory. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. So the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would do. Now, notice something here. I mentioned last time in discussing Romans 7 that a lot of people have tried to say that Romans 7 is Paul's description of himself before his conversion. And yet right here in Galatians 5:17, he is describing to the Galatians what is going on in them as saved Christians. He's already said, walk in the Spirit. Impossible to say if they're not saved. And yet he says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So they have both dynamics. They have a flesh that lusts against the Spirit. And he says, this warfare and this flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And often you can't do that which you would do. Just exactly what he said about himself in Romans 7. This is normal for a Christian. Not that we're forever to be in this battle, but it is normal, and we should be more and more realizing Christ, walking in the Spirit, and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But never to say there's not a war going on. I often say it this way. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Well, that tells me that the Christian person normally is going to be in a continual state of warfare. But, tie in the other verses, despite the fact that we are to be continually in a warfare in this regard, we ought to be continually standing in victory. That's what Paul says at the end of Ephesians. Stand, therefore, stand against the flesh, stand against the devil. Not try to win a victory over. No. Victory is already won in Christ. Stand in Christ by faith against that which would drag you down into these lusts. Isn't that what he says? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So again, you have to believe that it is finished in Christ, and you have to want to be free from the lust of the flesh. You have to be able to say to God, do whatever it takes, Lord, to make me see all this and stand. You have to abandon yourself to him no matter what. Because this warfare will be there. The devil will be looking for any crack he can find in your faith life, in your flesh, to try to drag you in at your weakest point. And he is saying, you may fail, but stand. If you try to stand against the lust of the flesh without believing, you're going to fail. So the stand is by faith to begin with and all throughout. You have to stand in your faith in Christ, that he is your life, and that the very presence of Christ in you is victory, and that you do have resurrection power in him. Again, not to beat down sin, but resurrection power in him, to live in him, and then the other will dissipate slowly but surely. Why will sin dissipate if you stand by faith in Christ? Because in Christ, sin has already been defeated, and at the cross it already died in him. Again, these truths are absolute and foundational. And we can't simply establish them as truth and think they're going to work. We have to discover him, because they all speak of who he is and what he's done. And we have to come to know and realize him. And so Paul says, you're going to have this conflict. Fact of the matter is, if you don't have this conflict, I'd worry. Flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. How many know that the devil is never passive? So he's always going to be trying to get at believers. In fact, the more strong you become in faith in Christ, the bigger target you're going to have on your back. And so you're going to have this warfare constantly. Because if you don't, then either the flesh isn't there or the spirit isn't there. And I guarantee you the flesh is there. So the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. But he would say, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's a continual stand. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Not beat the devil and win the victory all over again, but resist the devil by faith, because he is a defeated foe by Christ. You can't beat the devil. You can't really even resist the devil unless you do it by standing in Christ. We are never called to win any victory, as I noted. We are called to stand by faith in Christ, who is the victory. Those are words we need to experience and practice them. And the Christian life will be one where we're going to be given the opportunity to do that over and over again, if not continuously. And so, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is exactly what we've been talking about here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the fact that in Christ all victory is finished. And that by faith, if we will walk in Christ by faith, abandoning ourselves, leaving ourselves alone, refusing to be preoccupied with ourselves, if we'll do that, then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we'll discover it has set us free from the law of sin and death. Because God did what the flesh could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ in us is our righteousness. And so walk in the Spirit. Walk in Christ. That's the law. That's the nature of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And if we'll do that, we will become less and less occupied with ourselves and more occupied with Jesus Christ.